All righty, good evening, everybody. Brother Russell sent me a picture of Andy and Barney, and they were sitting in church, and Barney was asleep, and Andy was struggling to keep his eyes open. He said, something about this. Yeah, when you go to church on daylight savings or whatever, so I can see it in some of you's faces. It's one of them days, but it's good. It's going to be all right. Just think, it'll be daylight when you leave. So that's a blessing. So we'll try to find some positives in here the best we can. So this quick announcement, most of you heard them this morning, remember our services, of course. Don't forget about revival. Again, we sure want to be inviting folks. We'll be praying, and I do pray for Brother Knox's that time is quickly getting close to us. It's hard to believe. I guess it's 2 to 3 weeks, I guess, till he'll be here, Lord willing. Just hope you'll be praying, looking for a good time there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you for the good day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, just to even be in this place tonight, Lord. And God, we sure love you. Thank you for all you do, Lord, what you have done. Lord, looking forward to what you got laying ahead for us, Lord. And God, we just ask you one more time tonight, God, help us tonight to get out of the way. Lord, let you have your way. And we'll sure appreciate all you do. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, grab a hymnal.
Okay, grab your hymnal, turn the number. Let's all stand. Actually, let's throw that in there. Let's all stand up. Number 302, number 302. I am so glad Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. So we're gonna sing all three of these, three of the verses. So here we go. Let's sing it out. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has give. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. All right, turn over to number 71. 71. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So here we go. Let's sing this first and last. Here we go. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
Amen. We sung that song, that first one there, about the love of Christ there and loving Him. I told my wife a story I read this week. That was this man and woman, they were engaged to get married, and she broke up with him. And after a little bit of time, he got a love letter from her. And this is what the love letter says. It says, "I'm so sorry of what I've done to you. I really messed up. I'd really like to get our relationship back together. And I'm so sorry again." And then it says, "I love you. I love you. I need you." And it had her name. And then under her name, it says, "P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery." Somebody's like, "Huh? You'll figure it out."
Come on, brother.
All that separated me from Christ, my Lord. Was so vast, the cross thing I could never fold. From where I was to His demand, it seems so far. I cried. could not come to where my Jesus was. He came to me.
All right, take your Bibles with us this evening to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms 86. Psalms 86. And then also find Titus chapter 3. Psalms 86. Titus chapter 3 this evening. Appreciate the good songs. And tonight we want to do our best to lift the Lord up. Psalms chapter 86. We looked this morning, if you wasn't here, if most of you were here, I think, looked this morning at that great kinsman redeemer and to think of all that that applies to and what Christ has done for us, even as Brother Russell sung that wonderful song there. He didn't have to come to me. I don't deserve anything. He didn't have to come to you. You don't deserve anything. But God chose to love us and to come to us and die for us. And He sure deserves all the praise this evening. Psalms chapter 86 this evening, if you found your place and you can. Let's stand together this evening out of honor and reverence to the Word of God as we read this precious book together. Look in Psalms chapter 86. In verse number 8, the Bible says, among the gods, there is none like unto thee. Now, this isn't the message, but I believe it's worth saying. There are many gods, little g. You talk to someone from India. We support Brother Obed, and they have hundreds to thousands of gods. They worship a stick, a stone, a cow, whatever it might be. They have all kinds of gods. Well, how in the world could they do that? Well, same way America has their gods, a football, a basketball, a race car, a job, whatever the god of choice is in America. But God tells us here, the psalmist says, among the gods, there is none like unto thee. I think we ought to just say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. There's none like him. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. Father, we just ask you once again, please bless this time together. God, I pray that you stir your children in these days. God and Lord, we just want to see you tonight. Again, we thank you for this book. Thank you for the Spirit, God, that leads and guides. Lord, have your will and way, and we'll give you the praise for it. For us in your name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this evening. Now take your Bibles over to the book of Titus. Titus, chapter 3. Again, the Bible talks here. The psalmist makes such a note about how great God really is and all that God has done for here that psalmist. But tonight, even more, when David was writing here this psalms, he had no idea about what we got. There was something probably in the future of his eyes, maybe, that he'd been told about through the prophecy of God, but there was no way he could truly understand about the death of Christ and Christ giving his life to save us from our sins. And David talks about how great God really is and how precious he is. And then we come here to chapter 3 of Titus. Look, Titus is so well broke out in chapters, but here this evening as we close out this book of Titus, the very first part is what I want to draw to. Then I want to take what Paul is telling here and bring it back to our minds. The very first part here says, put them in mind. That simply means to remember. You know, we all need reminding from time to time, don't we? The older we get, the more we need reminding from time to time. My wife and I, we make a list, and we lose the list, and then we forgot what was even on the list. We need reminding. It hadn't got so bad that I go in rooms and wonder why I went into that room. Not yet, but it will, they say. But we all can use a reminder of some things. And here's what Paul, through the inspiration of God, says. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You know, this isn't the message, but we do need to remember that. I know I'm not a fan of our government by no means, but I still need to remember that God tells me I'm supposed to pray for them. That God says I ought to do some things because they are my government and my head of over our country. And again, he says we need reminding to speak evil of no man. You know, it's so easy to run people down. We're guilty. I even did it in the prayer room. I run down one of our leaders. I shouldn't have said it like I said it probably. But God needs to remind us, and God wants us to be reminded of these things. He says not to speak evil of no man, to be not a brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And again, our greatest example is Christ. And Christ, again, people say, well, that means you're weak, or that means that, you ain't got any backbone or strength. Well, what a lie that has to be. Because Christ, if anybody had strength, and if anybody had authority to say something, Christ would have had. But he went as a sheep to a shearer. He didn't say a word. He wasn't a brawler. He could have took them all down, but he didn't. And again, he's showing us that we need to remember that we need to be this way unto men. Listen, aren't you glad that we didn't get what we deserved? Verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Anybody remember those days? Yeah. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly, through Jesus Christ our Savior. And that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, in those verses, from verses 3 to verse number 7, again, God is saying that we need to remember. We need to put some things in our minds. We need to be constantly reminded of these things. And I believe in these few verses, verse 3 to verse 7, there are some things tonight that we know it, but I don't think we really understand it. We know it, we'll shake our heads, but I don't think we really enjoy it. So tonight I want to, just for a moment, again, as the psalmist says, there's no God like you. And tonight I can say the same, there's no God like our God. And tonight what God has done, nobody in the world could do what God has done for me or is doing for me. So let's look at it tonight real quickly this evening. I think, how many are they? There's five this evening that things in these verses here that I want to point out. Again, remember, again, it says in verse 1, putting them in mind. So tonight I'm trying to get you to remember something. The first thing that pops into our minds here as we look at what God shows here, how great He is and how amazing it is. And tonight, isn't it amazing? The love of God. Is that not an amazing thing? Why would God love somebody like us? Only God could. I have a hard time loving some people. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to. But I have a hard time sometimes. And to think about what mankind has done toward God, isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful that our God would still love mankind? Even, and then he goes on in this verse here to point out how unlovable we are.
notice what he says here. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Sometimes I'm still foolish. The word foolish there means ignorant. And ignorant doesn't mean dumb. Ignorant means to ignore. Many times I ignore the leadership of God. Isn't that crazy? Now, if my children, when they were little, they ignored something, they got the understanding stick. Do we still have that? We have a 5-gallon paint stirrer that lives on top of our refrigerator. It's called the attitude adjuster. And it worked really well to adjust things. And sometimes my children would be foolish. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey. They were ignorant. They ignored what mom and daddy said. So we had to adjust them. But it didn't change how much I loved them. And even greater than that, to think tonight that as much as we ignore God and what God has done and how foolish we are, God still loves you and I. And God still loves this world as foolish as this world's become. It's amazing how God would even love us. Notice here also, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Second of all, disobedient. Just mention that again, disobedient. How many times have we not listened to God? How many times have we turned our back on God and God still loves us? Just think of that prodigal son. He comes to daddy acting like a third grader or a kindergartner and says, daddy, I want this, 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 and this. And daddy said, okay, boy, here it is. And he took off and lived his life like he wanted to and in righteous living, it says. I can only imagine how the daddy's heart had to be. But that daddy still looked and that daddy still wanted. And that day when that boy finally came to himself and he started back to the house, he topped the hill and daddy was looking. And daddy went running and daddy loved his neck and gave him that ring and that robe and that shoes on his feet. Why? Because he loved him. Even though he was foolish, even though he was disobedient, God showed forth only what God could do. You know, a lot of times, we can name names of evil men in our days. I know right now one of the things they're comparing Putin to is to Hitler. I don't think he's got there yet, but you know God even loved Hitler. God even loves Putin. How do you know? Because God even loves me. So he says here about foolishness. He talks about the love even when they were disobedient. Second or third of all, it says deceived. How many times were we deceived by our flesh, by the world, and the devil? But God says, I still love you. Ain't that an amazing God? No other God could do anything like that. But our God, the true and living God, loves you when we're foolish, when we're disobedient, when we're deceived. Notice next, serving. You know, you would think that we would have no trouble serving God. To me, it seems like it'd be so natural. But look how he says, serving divers, lust, and pleasures. How many times are we led away by our flesh because of our desires, because of our wants, because of our lust after something? Look at Samson, how he lost the power of God because he lusted after things that God told him not to. And today, God looks at us, and how many times when we've got everything that we need, God supplies everything that I could ever desire, and God is so good to me, but still, we lust after stuff. But God says, I still love you. When we're foolish, when we're disobedient, deceived, serving lust and pleasure, living in malice. That word malice means desire to injure or to hurt others. That shouldn't be the heart of a Christian. That shouldn't be even in our mind. But again, how many times does those, I know, y'all aren't like me. When that guy cuts you off or does something, you have that thought, I'm going to kill you. God says if it's in your mind and heart, you might as well have said and done it. You're guilty. But God even loves us when we have that hatred. You know, I know people tonight, they're mad at God. They won't acknowledge that, but they are. But God still loves them. Even when they are mad or hate God for something that they think God did, God shows that love, an amazing love. It says here again, He loves us when we're foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving lust and pleasures, living in malice, envy. My goodness. I wish I had what they had. I wish I could do what they do. God says, I still love you. Even though you're not satisfied, God says, I still love you. Hateful and hating one another. Oh my, sometimes the church, the world don't hate people like church people hate church people sometimes. Boy, that shouldn't be. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters, and we're supposed to have that bond and that unity in the church. But sometimes not only are we hateful to the world, but we're hateful one to another. But even all through that, God shows forth His love. So again, we have an amazing God, a God like no other God, a God that's just so great, as the psalmist says, first of all, because of His love. No man's ever loved like He loves. Nobody ever will love like He loves. And tonight we need to remember, when all the chaos, when everything in our lives might be flopping around and upside down, we ought to stop every once in a while and just be reminded God loves us. Sometimes we get so far down in ourselves that we think nobody loves us. Well, listen, people in this world might not love us, but I can tell you one thing, God loves us. And that's what really should matter. So He's an amazing God because I see His love. Second of all, this evening, look in verse number 5. Says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So tonight, not only do we find love, but we also find some things here about another thought about how great our God is. And we find the word mercy. Mercy. Aren't you glad tonight that our God does not give us what we deserve? That's what mercy is. We deserve to be in hell. We deserve to be punished. But God loves us and God shows forth His mercy. That's why He's so amazing. And we need to be reminded of that mercy. We need to be reminded of what God is doing and how what God has done and what God's going to do. And so we find that thought of His mercy, and that makes Him a great God. Not only do we find that thought of mercy, but we also think about that thought of grace. Mercy is the fact that we don't get what we deserve, and we deserve it. But grace is we get something that out of His riches. I deserve hell, but He gives me heaven. I deserve punishment, but He gives me grace and mercy. Amen. So tonight, we need to be reminded more than just once. We need to understand how great our God is, because sometimes it's easy to lose sight, and we lose sight on the fact that God loves me and that God has showed forth mercy and God has given forth grace. I've always heard that thought of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Just think of what we've been given. Tonight we need to be reminded of that. So again, we have an amazing God because He loves us, because of His mercy and His grace. Fourth of all, this evening, we have an amazing God that above all gods. Why? Because of His great gift. Look here this evening, verse 5 again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Think about, again, His love, His mercy, His grace, and then the gift of God's salvation. Tonight, to know that our God, the only true God, we need to be reminded that God loved you and showed forth that mercy and grace and went to Calvary to die for each one of us. To shed that blood, the only thing, as I said this morning, that kinsman redeemer. Notice in this great gift, first of all, He saved us. Thank God for salvation. But that saved, you know, I got saved from drowning one time. Don't mean I won't drown again. My brother, he probably wouldn't do it now that we're older because we fought a lot. From then to now, but I fell in a hole in a creek that we were messing around in, and it was way over my head, and I couldn't swim. And if it hadn't been for my brother being there, I would have drowned right there. But He saved me from that. But see, God didn't save me and just let me go. God saved me eternally. I've been given that great gift of salvation. So we see here that He saved us. We were lost and He saved us. Notice also in these verses, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His, God did the work. He saved us. Then by the washing. So He saved me and then He washed us. Why? Because I was dirty. I was filthy. I was defiled. But God, through love, mercy, and grace, and the great gift of God, He washed us, made us clean, whiter than snow. We see that great gift. And a renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only did He save us, not only did He wash us, but we're born again. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we're alive. Oh, be reminded. We're not just somebody's. We're not just anybody's. We belong to the Lord. And He's our God, our true and living God, a great God, a God that is amazing because of His love, amazing because of His mercy, His great. And thank God for the gift, the great gift of God, of salvation. And then last of all, this evening, in verse number 7, He's an amazing God. Verse 7, that being justified by His grace. Every time I read that word justified, I think of what a lot of preachers say, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I don't agree with it. A lot of times people say justified means just if I had not sinned. But I did sin. But God justifies me. God, through His blood, through the washing, through the cleansing, through the adoption of Christ, I am justified. Not through me, I'm justified through Him. And to me, it makes justification so much better when I realize I didn't deserve it. But I remember that God gave it to me. It's a free gift. But it says there again, it says in verse 7, that being justified by His grace. And then last of all, look here in verse number 7, we should be made heirs. You know, today, maybe you received something because someone left you something when they died. But tonight, we need to be reminded, oh, how much God loves us. Even when we were unlovable, God still loved us. We ought to be reminded of His grace and His mercy and His gift. But tonight, just think, child. He's going to prepare a place for us. He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where He is, will be also. So tonight, we are heirs unto the gift of God. God has gone to prepare a place for us, and what a place! Oh, we get so tied up into this world. We get so tied up in the things of this day. But friend, this ain't home. God has laid out a place for you and I. God has gone to prepare that place that you and I will have eternity in a place called heaven. What a great God we serve. A God of love. A God of mercy and grace. A God of a great gift and a great home. Isn't it amazing tonight that God would even know us? I'm trying to get you to see how great our God is. Tonight, I promise you, nobody wants to talk about our current president, but our past president don't even know who I am. The one before that, and the one before that, and the one before that, and guess what? Whoever's next, they won't know me. And if they did know me, they wouldn't want nothing to do with me. But isn't it amazing tonight? Don't we need to be reminded from time to time that God knows me? It's an amazing thing that He knows me and He loves me anyway. He's amazing. He knows me. He wants me. That He would pay such a price. What a price was paid for you and I. Well, thank God. We ought to remember that. This is a great salvation. So I'm amazed that He would even know me. That He would even love me. That He would even want me. They would even pay a price like that for me. I'm truly amazed tonight. To the world, I have nothing. But tonight in Christ, I have everything. I'm truly amazed tonight. And listen, I don't want to go around puffed up, but I think every once in a while we need to get a little excited about this. It's amazing tonight that I'm an heir, a child of God, that I belong to Him, and He claims me and wants me and talks with me and provides for me. That's the God we serve. David proclaimed how great our God is. Tonight, do you need reminding of that from time to time? I do. I get so caught up in all the negative of life. When God tells us here in Titus chapter 3 that we need to be reminded of some things to do, some things not to do, but also some things that God has done. I didn't have nothing to do with His love. I didn't have anything to do with His mercy. I didn't have anything to do with His grace. I didn't have anything to do with His gift. And I don't have anything to do with His home that He's going to prepare for us. He did it all for us. He's an amazing God. Let's don't lose sight of how great He is, how wonderful He is. And we need to remind ourselves when everything looks like it's going south, when it seems like you can't tell which way is up or down, just know that He is God. He's our God. I hope He's your God. Then I hope you know He loves you. I hope you know there's mercy and grace to be had. Thank God for the gift. I hope you're saved tonight. The world tonight needs to hear about how great our God is and what He'll do. I saw this the other day and I thought, boy, this is so good. Some of you people that hunt, you'll understand this. And I thought about, man, I make a pretty good track. You know, when you shoot a deer and it runs off, you have to trail it through its blood trail. And I heard a guy say this, and I thought, wow. He says, I'm following the true blood trail. Christ's blood. That's where it all started. That's where it all came from. That's what it's all about. So tonight, I just want to remind you. Well, preacher, I know. Yeah, I know you know. But do you know? Is it real to your heart? Does it put a smile on your face? Can you get away from the things of this world and just for a moment shut all that down and just ponder how great our God really is? Let's stand together this evening. So Miss Rhonda comes and Brother Russell comes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this evening. You're here on a Sunday night. You've taken time out of your day to come back to the house of God. Brother Clay said, you know, he was glad he could come to church. I am too. I'm glad I get to come to church.
But without Christ, it'd be no use to be in church. Look at all that God has done. Look at what God is doing. Look what God's going to do. As the psalmist says, He's a great God. Tonight, how great is He to us? You know, when something's great, we tell somebody about it. If God is all of that to us, why won't we tell somebody about it? He's a great God. As Miss Rhonda begins to play, Brother Russell, if you want to go ahead and start singing a verse, if you need to slip around this altar and be reminded one more time how good God is, you come.
Just as I am without one plea,
well, that's how you took me.
But that thy blood
was
shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
He is a great God, worthy of all our praise. You know, the Bible talks about those rocks crying out. It sure would be sad that a rock had more to say about God than I do. God didn't die for that rock, but He sure died for me. Do remember all of our services. Be praying for revival coming up. Don't forget about our church family. Again, Brother George had a procedure he's still recovering from. Brother Poplin still recovering from that knee surgery. Brother Bill's daughter, of course, continue to pray for her. A lot of sickness still around about us. Pray for our country. Pray for this world. Remember our missionaries. Oh, we mentioned, this morning about Brother Blaylock. Great opportunity there for as thousands upon thousands are fleeing out of Ukraine into these surrounding countries. There's missionaries there working. And what an opportunity to tell them about the love of Christ. So, please remember our missionaries. Yes, ma'am. Okay, remember James. Remember that. So, do check up on one another. And if you're seeing somebody that's not been here in a day or two, do reach out to them. Tell them you've been missing them, and you'll be praying for them. So, hope you have a good evening. Go home, get some rest, get some sleep that you look like you need. And maybe it'll get better as we go. So, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We are thankful again for, Lord, this precious book. God, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that leads, guides, directs. God, to feel that love, God, even when we feel so unlovable, to know that you just love us. God, I thank you, Lord, for all you do. God, what you're going to do one of these days, Lord, we're looking for home. God, just any day I'm thinking we're out of here, Lord. And, God, we sure are looking for it. God, I do pray for the needs here in the church. I pray, Lord, for our missionaries. I pray for the lost, God, that we could come about through the days ahead. And God, I pray for our missionaries, God, that are serving out in the field. And God, we just ask you again, Lord, to be with Brother Knox. We sure pray for revival here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, Lord. And we sure will thank you, praise you, glorify you the best we know how. For sure, in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you.